joy in life. Well, good morning, everyone. And what a joy it is to see the kids act out the Christmas story. And, you're never really not sure what you're in for, but it's always a joy. Well, we're going to spend the next 10 minutes or so focusing on the last reading that Cooper read out very well for us. And that it's from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31, if you want to open up your Bibles and follow along with me. In this passage, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and as he's writing, what's really captured the imagination of the Corinthian Christians is worldly measures of success. The people they want to listen to are the people who are wise by worldly standards. You know, if Richard Branson or the Dalai Lama or Oprah were visiting town, they'd be in the front seats to listen to their talks. The Corinthians wanted to hang around people who were influential in the world. If Time magazine was around then, they'd grab the edition with the people of the year in it, and they'd study all those people, who they were. They'd want to learn the secrets of their influence, and they'd maybe even send them an email to ask if they could catch up sometime. Yeah. And there was nothing more important to them than climbing the social ladder, you know, saying the right things to the right people, doing the right things for the right people. So maybe one day they might grow to be someone, a real someone in Corinth, to be one of those people who really pull the strings of power. What the Corinthian Christians wanted was exactly what every other non-Christian person in Corinth wanted. And Paul writes to them here saying, whoa, slow down. It's not like that. God's way is different to everyone else's way. I mean, take Jesus. We've just been celebrating his birth this morning. Think of him when he was born. When he was a newborn, was he wise according to human standards? Was he a person of influence? No. Was his birth a noble one according to human standards? What did Jesus' birth and the births of Prince George and Princess Charlotte have in common? Not much. And probably the only thing is that beforehand they were in their mother's womb and then after they weren't. There's nothing noble about Jesus' birth. It's quite the opposite, really. But even before he was born, while he was still inside Mary's womb, Zechariah, John the Baptist's dad, said about Jesus that the God of Israel has visited and provided redemption for his people. He's raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Then, when Jesus was about 8 days old, a righteous man with God's spirit on him picks up baby Jesus and says, "My eyes have seen your salvation. This child is destined to cause the rise and fall of many in Israel and a sign that will be opposed. And a sword will pierce your own soul that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." It sounds like a baby who's very important in the grand scheme of things. Even though as far as human standards go, he was of no importance at all. But even throughout Jesus' ministry, not much really changed. As far as worldly standards of wisdom went, the general consensus was Jesus was a bit crazy. You know, people would come to hear him, but he'd say strange things in parables that they couldn't understand. He'd say things like they needed to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and that turned a lot of people off. Once he was teaching and his family tried to get him to come away, probably because they thought he was making a fool of himself. After he told people he was the good shepherd, many people said, "He's demon-possessed and raving mad." They're hardly things that you'd put on your CV if you wanted to apply to be a speaker at a wisdom conference. In his earthly ministry, he never really became a person of real earthly influence. You know, when he was facing crucifixion for crimes he didn't commit, there was no army of supporters running to his defense. There were some people who were sad and upset, but even his closest disciple denied that he even knew him 3 times. And these days, criminals who commit terrible crimes have followers who defend them, but all of Jesus' followers scattered. And without even defending himself, He was crucified. He was executed in a way that was Rome saying to him, "You're weak, you're shameful, you're despised, you're nothing." And that was a message that was publicly displayed for all to see. From his birth to his death, if you were judging things by worldly standards, Jesus was nothing. But as we said before, God's standards are different. Even though people thought Jesus had a few screws loose, when the scribes and Pharisees asked him questions to make him look like a fool, he answered in ways that flipped it around and brought shame on those people who were considered wise by the world. And now Jesus has become for us the wisdom from God. God chose Jesus, who was a weak and lowly newborn baby boy, who grew into a man who died in a way that was designed to tell everyone and anyone that he was weak. And yet God chose this one to bind the strong man so that he could plunder his stuff. That the strong man, who is the devil, the prince of this age, and now the kingdom of Jesus is growing, and not even the gates of hell will prevail against it. And God chose Jesus, a lowly and despised one who didn't even have a place to rest his head, who was rejected in his hometown and despised by religious leaders. Yet it was Jesus who God raised up as the Psalm 2 king, who will nullify all powers and authorities in all the nations, even to the ends of the earth, and will destroy any cause that anyone has for boasting before him. Clearly, when we look at Jesus, we see that God's ways are different to all that we see around us. And it's really good news for all of us here. And it's really good news because, and I don't mean to be unkind here, but it's good news because as I look around, I don't see too many New York Times best-selling authors. I don't see many CEOs of ASX 200 companies, or let alone Fortune 500 companies, or people on the Forbes rich list, or heads of state. I don't see any of the royal family of any of the earthly monarchies. But that's okay, because God's ways are different. You don't have to be any of those things to be saved. God doesn't value the things that the world values. Becoming one of God's children isn't only for those who have reached the pinnacle of worldly success. You know, just thinking of that reaching the pinnacle of success. I don't know if you know, but in airports around the world, there are special doors. The doors aren't labelled. They often look really, really plain so that they don't draw anyone's attention. But behind those doors are invite-only clubs that make the Qantas Club and the Virgin Lounge look like McDonald's. Only the people who are at the pinnacle of worldly success ever get invited into these clubs. You know, just Google the Qantas Chairman's Club sometime if you don't believe me. That's the way the world does things. It's not the way God does things. Just like God chose Jesus as the one before whom every knee will bow. Even though as far as worldly standards go, Jesus was really quite ordinary. God chooses ordinary people to be his children, to receive every spiritual blessing and an inheritance in the new creation where there will be no crying or sadness or pain anymore. And for those who are adopted as his children and are blessed and receive an inheritance, it's not a reward they're given for worldly success. Those blessings rightly belong to Jesus and because of who he is and what he's done. And in his grace and mercy, he's chosen to share those things that belong to him with everyone who believes in him. No one has any grounds for boasting because anything that really is a cause for boasting belongs to Jesus. He has become our wisdom, our righteousness, our holiness and redemption. None of those are rightfully ours, but we can have them when we turn to him, asking him graciously to share them with us, and then living lives of thankful obedience to him because of all that he's done for us. So all any of us have left to boast in is how good Jesus has been to us, giving us blessings and hope of life in the new creation that we don't deserve. So if you're going to boast, boast in Him. The world says that you earn it for yourself and you keep it for yourself and you keep the riffraff out. God's way is different to everyone else's way. We see that in the Christmas story. Baby Jesus in an animal's feed trough, surrounded by a bunch of nobodies. But a baby who would become the most truly wise, the most truly influential, the most truly noble person ever. Even if he wasn't seen so, according to worldly standards. A baby who truly is the saviour of the world and who will bring to nothing all who've succeeded according to worldly standards who don't believe in him. Let's be thankful this morning. Because while the world gives out its blessings to those who achieve according to its rules, God blesses those who believe in Jesus with blessings that are far better than anything that the world could ever give us. Not because we deserve them, but because Jesus does. And when we believe in him, receive the Spirit, incorporated into Christ, Christ shares his victory and his blessings with ordinary people like us. As we look at baby Jesus in the feed trough that cows eat out of, we see that God's ways are not everyone else's ways. That God offers salvation to all those who do the very ordinary thing of believing the truth about who that baby was and is. What great news to remember this Christmas. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that even though he came into this world as a very humble and in a very humble and lowly way and lived a life that wasn't the good life by worldly standards and died the death of someone who was despised and cursed, you have exalted him to the highest place and given him the name above every name, so that one day every knee will bow before him. Whether they've made it to the pinnacle of worldly achievement or not. We thank you that Jesus shares the victory and blessing he has won with all who believe in him, no matter how ordinary they are as far as the world is concerned. We thank you for the offer to share in that in Christ. We pray that we may truly receive that offer, believing in Jesus, living a life of thankful repentance, turning from the world and its standards ever more towards Jesus and his will. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.